Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws dot thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Empowerment. That's what it's about. Magical engineer Frank and I are on the case. We're ready to rock and roll. Thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio. We're going to be talking about some new mega trends and how it's going to impact you. I mean, it can't possibly miss you. Okay, so it impacts everybody. So we're going to talk about that. And because, you know what, Valentine's Day is this weekend, so we're going to be talking about, chocolate. And we'll see how much time we have. We have some other things. Maybe we'll touch on some things like iodine. But we got lots to talk about, so we got to get going. Oh, don't forget, coming up next Tuesday, the 17th, Dr. Carly is going to be here. So if you want to check out her website, we have a conveniently placed a banner that links to her website, ReversingVaccineInducedDiseases.com. I know that's a lot to type. So the banner's a breeze. So you just go to the powerherbs.com website, click on links, and you'll find her banner. Click on that. Get right on over to her site. She'll be with us on Tuesday, so hope you can join us on the 17th. And we have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, I want to just say big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting all branches of the military up in prayer. God's hand of protection be on them. And, of course, I'm seeking the Lord's face. I hope you join me, prayer warriors that you are, because Isaiah 59 says we're to plead to the Lord for justice and truth. And one way to get that is to restore some righteous leadership. So I'm praying for righteous men of valor. But not only that, I'm praying for men of valor that have wisdom and intelligence, you know, the biblical kind. And so, you know, no rogue people out there that could be scary. And we want people that have a sound mind, see. So, you know, the prayer of the faithful saves the sick. The prayer of the righteous avails much. So mind the time, folks. Hope you'll join me. Seek the Lord's face, hit the knees, because the time grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Okay, what do we got? We're going to talk about this a little bit today in our megatrends, but hospitals are cutting costs, and one way they're doing that is not only are they consolidating to be bigger, enterprises, they're also hiring robots. Mm-hmm. Apparently, robots are being programmed to do jobs that the staff could be reassigned to do other things more important. So they're fulfilling those menial tasks, I guess, that other hospital staff members wouldn't have to do, and they say it cut costs. So they're redirecting the human labor force, and they get robots are going to be like, you know, taking out the trash, picking up the linens, delivering food, that kind of thing. So, but you know what? I think it's pretty laughable to think that eventually robots won't replace human jobs. I think people should be aware that's where it's going. All right, last but not least in the quack report, Johnson & Johnson, you know them, right? They make your Band-Aids and some other things. Well, Johnson & Johnson, based in New Brunswick, New Jersey, is positioning itself to offer more than just Band-Aids. They also are the leading maker of diagnostic tests, vaccines, surgical equipment, prescription medications, injected biological medicines, and other health products. So they have about 10,000 scientists on their employee staff. So they have this innovation center, and they collaborate with other university researchers. Well, they made $16 billion last year, so I guess they can do it. So they're partnering up with the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. They want to find ways to prevent type 1 diabetes. Well, one way to do that is to quit vaccinating. It's, you know, according to Dr. Carley, vaccinations create diabetes. But this is where they're headed. They want to have this development process where they are going to be able to predict and prevent disease, apparently. So they want to be able to prevent Alzheimer's, cancer, heart disease. And they have a center that's based in Leiden, Holland. They have the potential through vaccines, they say, to prevent those types of diseases. They also, at their Microbiome Institute, the Johansson Human Microbiome Institute, they're going to study bacteria that lives on the surface of your body, you know, the healthy flora. They want to see what kind of key role it has in health, and they want to be able to create treatments out of it to possibly, they think, stop autoimmune disorders, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, inflammatory bowel disease, and other things. Now, their disease interception accelerator, whatever that is, that's in New Jersey as well. They explore genetic defects that cause disease so they can eradicate that. So they say decades ago we never would have been thinking about preventing disease. Well, what the heck has medicine been doing? Right? Wouldn't they want to prevent disease? Well, they're not about prevention. That's not what they've been about. And when they go about preventing disease in an unnatural and really spooky way, you can just expect it to go terribly wrong. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
There you have it. Scientists say we don't prevent disease. We want to, but we don't. All right. There's a way to prevent disease. We're going to get to that in a little bit. We're going to be talking about the health megatrends because the movers and the shakers that are guiding our civilization are also creating unprecedented change driven by a lot of the technology advancements and also the cost-cutting measures that we're told that will help all of mankind and, of course, the environment. So I was recently watching Nova on TV, and they had this special on the Roman Colosseum. Maybe you saw the same thing. Well, what they discovered, some remains of gladiators at another archaeological site, and the forensic bone specialist discovered injuries, some of them fatal, which the gladiators had endured. And some of the head wounds, they noticed, they had healed. The head wounds were healing before they were killed later on. So the gladiators had some sponsors, just like, you know, worldwide wrestling and the football players in the NFL. And the sponsors of the gladiators paid the ancient physicians a lot of money to treat the injured gladiators. So the gladiators were given a special ash drink to make their bones strong, kind of similar to a calcium supplement. So there have been changes in the medical area for thousands of years. However, nothing mankind has ever seen before will change the healthcare treatments, and they're coming at record speed, by the way. So each of us will have to decide if medical science and technology are doing more harm than good. We're going to see. Let's take a close-up real quick. If you think technology is getting too personal and is risking your privacy and your security and, of course, your sanity, then hold on because you haven't seen nothing yet. According to consulting experts in healthcare, there are forces in play that are radically changing the way we perceive healthcare. Now, according to Joel Sawyer of Med Axiom Consulting, every area of medicine, from the doctors to the patients to the vendors, will be impacted by this new change. Everything that you're used to experiencing in healthcare is going to vanish over the next few years, and I mean everything. So the experiences that you've come to know going to see your doctor, definitely under radical change. Now, an example they gave was the number of patients a doctor is going to be allowed to see and how he or she diagnoses the patient and treats the patient. Now, how patients are going to pay and how doctors will be compensated are also going to be changed. Everything will be tracked and accounted for because it is healthcare that's driven by costs and only costs. That's the goal, bottom line. Bam. Okay, let's talk about the bundled treatments. Maybe you've heard about this. There will be no more individual tests. Mm-mm. They're too expensive, apparently. So the new paradigm will have nuclear studies bundled with overall treatment of patients justified as disease prevention. So if patients don't want radiation treatments, they may have to waive their rights to the rest of their treatment plan. So the accounting strategy is to measure value, and the way they do that is outcome over cost. An example is if a female patient was diagnosed, let's say, with breast cancer, before she can qualify for a reconstruction surgery after the mastectomy, she would need to participate in two series of chemo and a series of radiation before she can get there, if she survives it. So Dr. Rebecca Carley has said here on the show that the Affordable Care Act would force patients to succumb to toxic drugs and treatments if they wanted to keep their medical insurance. All right, let's talk about this radical accountability, because the experts in the healthcare industry are calling these changes monstrous. That's incredible. Okay, so however, the reimbursements, the two physicians are less, and as usual, the patients are going to be, you know, on the hook for the balance. So this is what the Affordable Care Act calls accountability in healthcare patients pay higher premiums with higher deductibles and pay higher medical bills after insurance pays. Now, Sawyer admitted that this is all to move the healthcare industry away from the fee for service to a global payment mechanism centered around populations and bundled treatments. So the benefit that everyone seems to be overlooking with the old fee-for-service model is that with that model, the doctor represents the client, the patient. And according to Dr. Michael Goodman, he says this, the providers, that would be the physicians, and the consumers, that would be us patients, of the medical services have become merely the tools to provide profit for the managed care industry. I believe that. So the other goal for the new system is to reduce any readmissions to hospitals through reimbursement penalties. So doctors and hospitals can lose 1 to 2% of their earnings if you return to the hospital within 30 days of discharge. So that penalty will cancel any bonus or raises to healthcare employees. So they don't want to see your face within the next 30 days when you leave. So you got to ask, well, does that mean that modern medicine is going to do a better job at fixing patients? Well, the reality is doctors and drugs can just do so much. So to recap, this radical accountability the government is forcing on the healthcare is really cutting costs via a global payment environment. And most medical facilities are really not prepared for this new economic model in healthcare. And the frustration is mounting. Large medical offices or hospitals are run by accountants and business professionals. So the boards of major hospitals may have a physician or two on there, but a majority of the shareholders want returns, and running a business is not part of a doctor's expertise. So it is safe to say that doctors are not consulted on financial matters, and the finances are dictating how the doctors can treat patients. See how insane that is? This means that 96% of the healthcare decisions are being taken out of the physician's hands. And this is a math problem because the treatments the doctors order for the patients drive the healthcare industry. Makes you wonder if God doesn't have all these people in derision, which is insanity because that's what it seems like. Well, let's talk about the speed of all these cost reductions, because the Affordable Care Act should not take the credit for any cost reductions thus far. Economics specialists evaluating the first year have said that the healthcare spending is still increasing, but at a slower rate than previously. So some speculate that it may be due to some of the major drugs like Lipitor or Xanax that now are available in generic form. So at most, the cost reduction was kind of compared to stepping down from a rocket to an F-10. So experts are agreeing that the major role of the Affordable Care Act is fundamentally to reduce healthcare spending, and it will do it with, of course, the higher premiums, the higher deductions, and the more out-of-pocket to patients. It will also accomplish it by reducing what physicians are paid and can expect to earn. Now, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, they expect that by 2019, the patients will be paying more than 50% of their health care. So Americans have not paid that much in medical treatment since World War II. Now, this is indeed intended, really, to be a radical and a drastic shift in how we see, interact, engage, and spend on our medical treatments. The Affordable Care Act is designed to change patient behavior by making health care expenses out of reach for the average American. And there aren't going to be any excuses because doctors will have nowhere to hide with this Affordable Care Act bureaucracy. The technology required for doctors to comply strips away any excuse of flawed paper trails. So all transactions will be exchanged online. The compliance issues will be, well, they'll only deepen as the Affordable Care Act becomes ingrained in the population. So we're told that the changes are necessary to prohibit fraud and abuse of the healthcare system. There is that old saying, though, that locks on doors are for honest folks. So super audits will be commonplace in healthcare, trying to recoup payments. So any cracks in fraud protection will most likely occur on the government side. So according to Sawyer, the government will continue to look for ways to track back healthcare payments, and it makes any payments the government makes, they're going to try to get back. And if they're going to do that, so will the third-party providers. So you talk about fraud. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the country doctor. What? What's that? Well, exactly. Say goodbye to the country doctor, because another casualty of the Affordable Care Act is that sole doctor practice, that sole practitioner. Right now, 47% of all U.S. physicians are employed by large medical practices or franchises. The research by Merritt Hawkins and Associates estimates that 75% of U.S. physicians will work in hospitals by 2016. The doctors won't complain at first because they will tend to be paid more in the integrated medical facility. Now, the trend in healthcare is that they need to be consolidated and become bigger to survive the demands of the Affordable Care Act. So there is an interesting trend, though, that was reported by the American Medical Association and the American College of Cardiology, in which cardiologists are leaving the medical field more than any other type of physician. So the trend there is more cardiologists over 60 years of age, and they're not being replaced fast enough. So unless the trend is reversed, it's going to be really hard to find a qualified cardiologist in about 10 years. Let's talk about this a business intelligence software, because the Affordable Care Act model of healthcare demands the use of technology to keep up with change, the rapid evolution in what is called BI software, called business intelligence software, to manage nearly every aspect of a patient's life. The software is designed to predict what diseases you most likely will develop and then treat you for it now. Everyone's lifestyle is going to be under the microscope. And as I said, lost jobs. Anyone who thinks the Affordable Care Act is going to add jobs to the healthcare industry is mistaken. Hospitals in the United States are adding robots, like I said, to the staff, not humans. The University of California San Francisco Hospital added a fleet of robots to also include their El Camino Hospital. We're told the robots will collect trash, linens, deliver meals and medications to patients, and other tasks in order to free up staff for more important jobs. Well, if you understand doublespeak, they call this redirecting human labor to save costs. Hey, I say the doctor kiosk is just steps away. So if you're thinking the new healthcare exploits people and uses them as pawns to make more money, hey, guess what? You'd be right. But there are some life preservers out there. Do not get distressed. You know, I prefer to rely on God's powerful herbs for health, because a healthy lifestyle with regular exercise and these medicinal herbs can go a long way as preventative health care. So you can sidestep a lot of health issues practicing your own due diligence and taking care of your body. And guess what? That's the ultimate accountability. So I live by this cleanse and nourish principle, in which to remove toxins, you use your organ cleansing products, and then you put good nutrition in, don't recongest the system. This helps the body to maintain a balance and to be able to heal itself. So if you go to the allopathic medicine and you buy into their disease management philosophy, this will never get at the cause of the problem and will merely reduce symptoms, giving you an illusion of health. So, and that kind of treatment will always catch up with you and, more often than not, make it more difficult to reverse your illness. Why? Well, allopathic treatments weaken the body. So if you want to learn more how you can empower yourself and avoid the dependency of drugs for life, then call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, ask about their organ cleansing and immune boosting herbs, and empower yourself. Ask for their free product catalog. You can call toll free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. The international number is 704-885-0277. Of course, you go to the website, thepowerherbs.com. You can get there typing in herbtalklive.com if you want. But thepowerherbs.com, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Now, don't forget, take advantage. They have a Valentine special. You'll save 20% on your order of $70 or more with their coupon. It's VAL15. Of course, it is on the homepage. You can just cut and paste it into your shopping cart or use it over the phone to place an order. But hurry, it expires on the 16th of February, and the coupon can't be used with other discounts or promotions. So take advantage of that, 20% off, save a big chunk of change, and get healthy, get empowered. That's what I say. I hope you're going to have fun on Valentine's Day. Yeah? I'm going out to dinner. My children are taking me out to dinner. I'll love on the madre a little bit. I say, okay. We'll go and get some healthy food, of course. I'm picky about that. All right. We're going to talk about chocolate. And, you know, a little chocolate's good. A lot of chocolate, not so good. But we're going to talk about it. I don't know. Anybody doesn't really like chocolate. It makes people smile, you know. Valentine's Day is a day when, you know, heart-shaped boxes, various chocolates, enjoyed by millions. You know, cold winter days, nothing seems more comforting maybe than a hot cup of cocoa, right? So chocolate's real cool. People love it. There's a lot of history that goes into chocolate. And it used to be a medicine by the ancient cultures. The Aztecs would add hot spices like cayenne to their hot chocolate beverages. It was often reserved only for the ancient royalty, but cocoa beans were also used in ancient times to pay taxes. Hey, do you suppose we go back to that? Huh? What do you think? Well, is chocolate more an indulgent food then, or is it more of a medicine? Well, we're going to take a look and find out. First, a little history. Modern society experienced the chocolate bar in the 1800s when a Briton by the name of John Cadbury created it. So the Industrial Revolution created for the mass popularity and distribution of chocolate in Europe and, of course, America. And today, the world gets half of its cocoa beans from Africa. And chocolate is pretty much a bitter food, and its name reflects that. The Spanish called it chocolate, which means bitter water. And it is said that in 1502, Columbus was introduced to the cocoa bean in Nicaragua, and it was used as currency and as a beverage. Apparently in the 1500s, 4 cocoa beans would buy a rabbit, and you can make a rabbit stew. By the 1700s, cocoa was introduced in Germany and in Vienna and Spain. And by 1755, chocolate in the United States, the first chocolate factory opened, and also in New England in 1765, a chocolate factory opened up there. So Barcelona, Spain is credited with the first machine to make chocolate candy, and chocolate bonbons debuted in America in 1851. And by 1938, chocolate became recognized by the United States government as having an important role in the armed forces, and it was dispensed during World War I and World War II. Cool. Well, we're going to talk about the cocoa nutrition. We're going to talk about, you know, taming that crave if you tend to eat too much, some of the major health benefits, of course, and how you can tap into those medicinal benefits and be healthier. And we're going to take a break and come back and talk about that much more, so don't go anywhere.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live."
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Here on Herb Talk Live, I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to talk about chocolate and its medicinal properties. You know, if chocolate's a medicine, why don't we have a Hershey hospital where we can pay for our medical bills with chocolate kisses? That would be cool, right? There's a question as to what are the real medicinal benefits of chocolate. Well, some cultures would use cocoa beans as a cure for some of the major health conditions, like they would use it for tuberculosis and digestion and fatigue and kidney stones. So recent research was pointing to a lot of the antioxidants and the flavonoids and some of the strong alkaloids inside chocolate that help fight against free radicals, aging, heart disease, and even cancer. In some of these cases, the studies on the nutritional power in chocolate stem from the dark chocolate. So apparently the nutrition is so significant in your dark chocolate, it's now classified by natural healers as a superfood. Now, of course, the research warns against chocolate made with refined sugar and recommends that 1 to 2 ounces of dark chocolate a day could be enough, sufficient. Well, let's look at some of this cocoa nutrition. Science is telling us that dark chocolate contains a special flavonoid called epoxygen, which is effective in reducing inflammation and protects cells from free radical damage. Now, the key to this is to make sure your dark chocolate is a source that has at least 70% cocoa. And the reason is good, rich sources of dark chocolate cocoa will have mineral-rich magnesium in it, which the body uses for healthy nerves and muscle function. So the chocolate will also provide selenium, which is a major antioxidant. And in one study that was published in The New Scientist in 2004, it concluded that chocolate makes babies happy. And the study cited that pregnant women who ate chocolate during their pregnancy seemed to have happier babies after birth. And the research believes that it's the chemicals in the chocolate which elevate mood and made babies laugh and smile more, especially after birth. So what about these cravings? Because, you know, everybody at some point says, ooh, I could use some chocolate, right? Women, right before their menstrual period begins, like chocolate. And why is that? Well, what you are craving really is the nutritional boost of the magnesium that's in the chocolate. In 1999, there was a study that was published in the Journal of American Dietetic Association in which the magnesium deficiency can prompt chocolate cravings. And just 1 ounce of dark chocolate will offer about 55 milligrams of magnesium. Now, another reason that folks, you know, are drawn to chocolate, because of the effects that it has on the neurotransmitters in our brain, chocolate will act like a serotonin to create a feeling of wellness. So if you eat dark chocolate, you will also reap the benefit of the amino acid called tryptophan that, you know, our bodies like to use to make more serotonin with. Now let's talk about romance and chocolate because the two seem to get connected. Some people wonder where that idea of giving a lady a box of chocolate came from, right? When you go on a date, it was kind of customary. Maybe that's old-fashioned now. I don't know. Do they do that now? I don't know. But, you know, bringing chocolate on a date was kind of customary. Some believe the idea stemmed from Casanova, known as the world's most famous lover. He would use chocolate with his encounters with women because he knew that it was considered an aphrodisiac, but not knowing of the chemical reasons why it did that. So the chemical nutrient in chocolate will encourage us to feel warm and fuzzy and feel really good. So it can influence, you know, our behavior. And that's what Casanova was taking advantage of, see? Mm-hmm. So it can also, according to science, elevate the excitement and attraction for another person. All right, so it's the phenothiamine and the chocolate will do that. All right, let's look at some other major benefits. Studies on chocolate have revealed some other health benefits that it offers in the area of vascular health. The Journal of the American College of Nutrition published a study in 2004 in which 1.5 ounces of dark chocolate provides blood vessels function. It helps improve blood vessel function because it has phenolytic compounds. So in 2007, a German study was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and it said that 1 to 2 ounces of dark chocolate a day lowers blood pressure. So the cardiovascular benefits of the dark chocolate, again, it's the dark, not the milk chocolate, they say help reduce the risk of arterial sclerosis, a stroke, and heart attacks. So more blood flow to the brain also helps with cognitive functions and improves memory. So in December 2013, there was this study that was published in the Journal of Nutrition, which reported that regular consumption of dark chocolate has plant sterols and flavanols to effectively reduce the cholesterol levels. And Harvard Medical School reported that hot chocolate drinks improve circulation to our brain and can prevent the decline of memory. Now, the 2005, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition also had some findings on the flavonoids in dark chocolate, and they said it improved insulin resistance. So it helped the body's natural ability to respond properly to insulin. So another study that involved pregnant women and chocolate was at Yale University in 2008. They said the dark chocolate contains higher levels of theobromine, which is similar to caffeine, and helps women with high blood pressure and a condition called preeclampsia. There you go. Now, most of all, the studies that stress the importance of dark chocolate, they said make sure it's 70% or higher of cocoa content to reduce the sugar content in there, no artificial sweeteners, to get the best benefits. Now, another important fact is the Dutch like to process their cocoa, and I would avoid that because it's treated with a lot of alkaline to reduce its acidity and its bitterness of the chocolate, and therefore it also reduces the flavonoid nutrition and, of course, health benefits. So the more bitter, the better, as far as chocolate goes. Dutch chocolate may taste smoother and work better in recipes, but will lack the natural nutrients. All right. Let's see. Let's talk about chocolate control. A lot of people say, ooh, I eat too much chocolate. Always use your medicinal chocolate, of course, in moderation. A little bitter dark chocolate is good. A lot of sweet milk chocolate, not so good. It's going to elevate your blood sugar and make you gain weight. So on Valentine's Day coming up this weekend, and all year long, you want to remember that a little quality dark chocolate offers a food of medicinal packed properties and health benefits. So if you're allergic to chocolate, you can tap into the medicinal herbs also that can improve cardiovascular function, memory, blood sugar control, and also reduce your sweet cravings. So a lot of herbs that I like to use, hawthorn berries, cayenne, rosemary, ginkgo, for cardio. If you're looking for a blood sugar help, you know, a little white juniper berry. And so you can check all these herbs out. You can look specifically for the heart and cholesterol blood pressure formula at Apothecary Herbs. And they also have a hawthorn formula, which will protect the heart muscle. Of course, they have a few blood sugar formulas if you want to check that out under their diabetic section. And to calm those sweet cravings, if you have too many, if you're a sweet tooth person, try some Celtic sea salt. It won't promote hypertension, but it does kind of tap down on those sugar cravings for you. So you can check all that out at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. It's more potent. It's organic, certified organic to Tilth standards. It's amazing. So check that out when you can. All right, let's see. We have a few minutes. So I get a lot of calls about thyroid and some other things and how to protect our, you know, thyroid from radiation and this and that. So I thought, well, let's just pull out this iodine topic once again and go over it quickly, because a lot of people worried about things going on with the West Coast with the Fukushima nuclear disaster. And they want to protect their health, okay? Even people on the East Coast are concerned about it, so it's not just West Coast folks. According to Dr. Joseph Mercola, the worldwide statistics on iodine deficiency is about 40%. And according to Dr. David Brownstein, an expert on iodine deficiency, and he's also the author of Iodine, Why You Need It, Why You Can't Live Without It, he says 95% of his American patients are iodine deficient. However, health experts say that overall Americans are not iodine deficient. So which is it? Are we at risk of, you know, thyroid disease because of a lack of iodine? Or are we just splitting hairs on this issue? Well, according to the CDC, an estimated 2.2 million American women are iodine deficient. And more realistic figure would be maybe 11 to 15% of Americans could be deficient in iodine. And iodine's important for every organ and all the tissues. Studies are suggesting that iodine helps the body fight off diseases like cancer and also protect us from nuclear disasters and, you know, the high levels of radiation. So we're going to check out some causes that can lower your iodine content. Well, doctors can check your iodine levels. They can take a urine sample. According to Dr. McCullough, if the sample has iodine levels below 50, it indicates moderate to severe iodine deficiency. We're told that the current iodine levels have been steadily decreasing over the last 65 years in folks. So what is causing that? Well, they suggest that some of the foods that we're eating are contributing to the iodine loss, like, you know, foods that have bromine in it. You'll find bromine in convenient baked goods, medications, soda, inside plastic containers, and even pesticides. And bromine can be found in some personal care products, so read your labels carefully. And according to research, bromine will displace iodine and increase our risk of serious disease like cancer. And some experts contribute breast cancer, thyroid, and ovarian cancer, and even prostate cancer to this bromine. Now, the other problem is that foods that we eat are much lower in iodine than they were 100 years ago. So the demineralization of the soil, the fluoridated water, and other contaminants have driven down the iodine level. Now, before Fukushima happened, the Japanese were able to consume nearly 90% more natural iodine through their sea vegetables and fish. So if you compare the United States, their recommended daily allowance of iodine is only 150 micrograms a day to the Japanese, who naturally consumed 13,800 micrograms per day. So there's a big difference there. So prior to Fukushima, the cancer rates in Japan were low. Well, I can see why. The Japanese use natural food sources of iodine. They don't use synthetic supplements for that, okay? So what happens if you get too much iodine? Well, if you're taking some iodine supplements, what happens? Well, we are aware that the thyroid doesn't, if it doesn't make enough of the hormones from iodine, we can get hypothyroidism. If we overdo iodine supplements, we could develop what is called subclinical or a milder version of hypothyroidism. So the symptoms could be the same, you know, you could have fatigue and weight gain and increase your risk of heart disease. A 2012 study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition said that although the average American is low in iodine, taking too much of an iodine supplement can also create a problem. So taking just 400 milligrams of iodine supplements can, according to the research, create a risk of you developing a subclinical version of hypothyroidism. So watch that. And let's talk about those supplements for just a moment. So what happens to the thyroid when you take an iodine supplement? Well, the thyroid does not use iodine directly. It has to metabolize the iodine and convert it to iodine 1 and iodine 2, in which the thyroid will use it to make thyroglobulin. So the metabolizing process will split the iodine ions, which can cause oxidative stress. So it's better to get some natural iodine in your food sources and leave the supplements for situations like nuclear fallout. So if you take the widely distributed potassium iodine tablets when there's a, you know, no emergency, this can also put you at risk of what they call thyroid toxicosis, which is too many thyroid hormones are being made by your thyroid, and you could develop what is known as Graves' disease, an autoimmune disorder. So you want to use caution using your supplements there. So how do you test? Well, if you go see your doctor and you have a urine test analysis to check for your iodine level, you can also do also, if you don't want to do that, too expensive, can't go to the doctor, Affordable Care Act prohibits that, okay. Well, then do a simple skin test. This your doctors would have you buy, you could buy a skin test from your doctor. It's called the SSKI, it's called the Super Saturated Potassium Iodine Test. However, you can make your own test. You want to take a potent source of natural iodine, which would also have high concentrations of iodine and potassium, and you can test it on your skin yourself. For instance, you could use maybe a tincture of black walnut because it does have a high content of natural iodine and potassium. So you take a few drops and put it on your skin, maybe inside your arm there, a good place where you can see it, and spread it on there into a patch size and then let it dry. And if you see a yellowish stain appear or when you touch something wet with your fingers, they can develop a yellowish stain on them, which means you have adequate iodine in your system. Now, if the patch of iodine that you put on your skin seems to disappear within a few hours, it could indicate you need more iodine. So the longer it takes for the patch to disappear on your skin, the more iodine you already have in your system. So if your patch is still evident, let's say 4 or 6 hours later, it's safe to say that you probably have adequate iodine. However, according to Dr. David Brownstein, the absorption rates can be influenced by atmospheric temperatures and pressure in your altitude. So he states that if you like live in Denver, Colorado, 5,000 feet above sea level compared to Los Angeles, California, which is at sea level, your iodine will disappear much faster if you're at a higher elevation. So take that into account. So let's talk about the salt, because a lot of people go, wow, I get natural iodine using salt. Okay, you would think that people are getting plenty of iodine consuming salt, because isn't salt iodized? Well, according to Dr. Pick, Marcel Pick, there's no standard requirement to iodize processed salt. That it's an industry that they can do it if they want to, on their honor kind of thing. It's voluntary in the United States. And he says only 1/5 of the salt products are iodized. Now, Dr. Pick's research says that over the last 40 years, the amount of iodine we're getting in our diet is 50% less. So this has led to an increase in iodine supplements in the marketplace, and people are overdoing the supplements and getting too much iodine too quickly, and some are developing iodine-induced hypothyroidism, and iodine from natural food sources is going to be safer, okay? So let's look at some natural sources there. You have your ocean salt, that's one. So if you're looking at some natural iodine in your sun-dried, unprocessed salt, this will get you a natural source of iodine. So if you have salt that's artificially processed and heated, it turns it white and it strips away the microminerals, including your natural iodine. And by the way, sun-dried salt is cardiovascular friendly. It is not going to promote hypertension, but of course you don't want to go crazy with the salt. Okay. Let's also talk about seaweed. You can get some natural iodine from your sea vegetables like the Japanese did. So you can check that out. Of course, you want to get your seaweed from probably the Atlantic Ocean at this point. And let's talk about black walnut. If you're looking for the highest concentration of natural iodine in a natural source, black walnut would be it. It's got significant potassium in it as well. And a little of this goes a long way as a natural source of iodine if you're thinking about using it. It'll have more than your sea vegetables and your Celtic sea salt. If you use a tincture or liquid, it's going to have a long shelf life and be more potent, and you don't have to use as much. And, of course, you know, you might want to check your iodine patch first before you start taking it as a supplement. So where do I get my iodine? Well, typically I like to use the Celtic sea salt, which has natural iodine. And I'll use the seaweed, which we do put that in the Body Foundation food mix, by the way. And that's usually significant amount. It's fine. Now, if I were under threat of nuclear, you know, damage to my thyroid, then I would probably use, personally, I would use the black walnut with the Celtic sea salt, because that's going to give you a natural source of potassium iodide. It's not going to be like a tablet. It's going to be natural potassium and natural iodine in its full spectrum of nutrition, which works better in the system. So it's not the same as a potassium iodide tablet, but that's what I would do if I was worried about my thyroid being irradiated and having problems there and thyroid cancer. Now, another thing is I would, just to hedge my bet, and don't want to get thyroid cancer, dandelion root, according to the folks at Windsor Medical University Hospital in Canada, they discovered in 2013 that dandelion root has something in it that makes all cancer cells commit suicide. You can check that research online. So cancer tends to be a greedy cell. and it'll suck up all the nutrition and try to starve the surrounding cells of nutrition. So your healthy cells instinctively know there's something in dandelion they shouldn't suck up and use, and but the cancer cells do, and so it kills the cancer cells. So if cancer was an issue, a concern of mine, I'd be hitting the dandelion root. And you can find your Body Foundation food mix with your sea vegetables and your black walnut and your Celtic sea salt and, of course, your dandelion root at the powerherbs.com website. That's right, one-stop central there for your medicinal empowerment. That's what I say. So check it out. And, of course, they do have wonderful little natural products for your pets. Keep the pets healthy and out of the vet, you know. They've got that Power Greens for Pet supplement that you can use. They have some natural flea and tick collars with eucalyptus and, of course, that great shampoo. If your dog has separation anxiety or he freaks out when a thunderstorm rolls in, you give him a little valerian root, just make him chill out. You know, it won't sedate him, but it'll just calm him down so he's not dancing or panting or whatever they do when they're all excited. So check that out. You got herbs for your pets. You got herbs for your children. You got herbs for you. And we've added those Dr. Mom approved icons in the catalog and on the website to help guide you in your selection. So that'll be nice to follow. And inside the 15th anniversary catalog, the Apothecary Herbs 15th anniversary product catalog, they also peppered in some feedback from customers on specific products so you can see what people are saying, as well as look for that on the website. So lots of great information there, and it's kind of a teaching tool. So, for instance, if you're looking at that dandelion root, let's say, you would also learn that you can power up the effect but with the synergistic effect of adding astragalus root to the dandelion, because astragalus root will help your immune system, which is really responsible for keeping cancer cells under control. So you can power up two things there. So it's a learning tool. You'll learn how you can use herbs individually. You'll learn how to use herbs in combinations, which is kind of like an herb class. And I've been told that this show is kind of like an herb class. You know, they learn a lot. And I'm glad, because it's empowering information. And we all want you to be well out there and save some money, you know. And the other thing that I get asked a lot is, if I use my herbs, let's say, for my heart, am I going to be on this heart herb liquid for life? No, no. Herbs are not like allopathic drugs, because your prescription drugs are designed to make you weak and dependent on them for life. And herbs are strengthening to give the body the stamina and the building blocks and nutrition to regenerate and heal itself. So, no, it's not intended to be used like that. So there's the big difference. It's an empowering thing. And always ask yourself when you're looking at your supplements out there, is this going to strengthen me or is this going to weaken me? That's the question I always ask. I picked up a bottle. Where was I? I was at Earth Fair. I was at a little organic market on the southeast coast. It's a chain. It's called Earth Fair. I was in there looking, and I was looking for some straight-up organic cold-pressed pumpkin oil. Pumpkin seed oil. I couldn't find it for the life of me. Oh, I found a little bottle of pumpkin seed gel cap things, and it was with the Earth Fair label on it, apparently somebody's private labeling for them. And, of course, yes, it is from a company that makes nutraceuticals, and if you've been listening to this show, you know what nutraceuticals are. They're wannabe vitamins. They are isolated components that have been altered. They're not whole food supplements any longer, and they work differently, act differently in the body. So, you know, put that puppy back on the shelf. So check that out. If you missed the show on nutraceuticals, hit the archives, because that is an education. I know, I'm out of time. If you have a health topic you want me to cover, just send me an email. I'll try to include that. Have a great Valentine's Day, and don't overdo the chocolate. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, or seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.